Good morning, everyone. So today we're going to be telling the story of Joseph. I'm not going to tell the whole story. I'm going to pick bits because it's quite a long story and we'll be here all day if I read all of Genesis. What we're going to focus on through the story of Joseph is that in our lives there will be good times and bad, but no matter the situation, we need to know that God is in control. We need to have faith in God. He is at work always, and he uses the good and the bad for his good and perfect plan. So let's look at the story of Joseph. Who is Joseph? Joseph was one of 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob, who had his name changed to Israel by God, was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. So Joseph is Abraham's great-grandson. And we remember that God promised this family that they would become a great nation, more numerous than the stars in the sky. So back to Joseph. Although he was one of 12, he was far from forgotten by his father. He was Jacob's favourite son. And his brothers were jealous and hated him because of this. Joseph was a bit of a dobber. When his brothers played up, he would bring back a bad report of them to his father. And his father gifted him a robe of many colours, not something you'd sort of think was too special today, but back then, very impressive. The Bible didn't say whether any of the other brothers were given a robe of many colours, but we assume they weren't, and so the jealousy grows. God gave Joseph dreams as well, and we'll read some of them now. Genesis 37. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around, and it bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. So now as Joseph did, he was off to check on his brothers, but this day their hatred and jealousy led them to conspire to get rid of him. The idea of killing him came forward, thankfully shut down by Reuben, who suggested they just throw him into a pit and then rescue him later. So they took his beautiful, colourful robe, stripped it into pieces, and threw him into a pit. But then along came a group of Ishmaelites riding camels loaded with goods, travelling from Gilead to Egypt. Judah said, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal the blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." So they sold their brother for 20 shekels of silver. They took his coat, dipped it in goat's blood, and returned it to their father, Jacob, who presumed that Joseph was torn to pieces by a wild animal, when in fact Joseph was alive and on his way to Egypt. And in Egypt, he was bought by Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. Things are not going so well for poor Joseph. Where is God? Genesis 39. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favour in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. So things are going well again. But Potiphar's wife has noticed how handsome young Joseph is. She tried several times to seduce Joseph, but he was an honourable man and for his master's sake rejected her advances. Potiphar's wife eventually falsely accused Joseph of trying to seduce her, and Potiphar got mad and threw him in prison. So it's gone from good to bad again. Things are not going so well for poor Joseph. Where is God? Later in Genesis 39. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Even in prison, God was with Joseph. Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker were in prison for committing an offence against Pharaoh. Doesn't say that, so we don't really know what they did. Maybe the wine was too sour or the bread was burnt and Pharaoh was upset enough to throw them in prison. While in prison, both these men had dreams, which Joseph interpreted. The interpretations were correct. The cupbearer was released and put back into the service of Pharaoh. While the baker's dream did not have a favourable meaning, he was sent to the gallows and he was hung. Joseph urged the cupbearer to tell Pharaoh about him, that he might be released from prison. Now the cupbearer forgot about Joseph, and for 2 years he remained in prison until Pharaoh had some dreams that none of his magicians or wise men could interpret. The cupbearer remembered Joseph, and he told Pharaoh that he knew a guy who could interpret his dreams. Joseph is brought from prison, and he's sent before Pharaoh to interpret his dreams. Read from Genesis 41. It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. The food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this, in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." The 7 good years come and go, and under Joseph's command and by the wisdom given to him by God, Egypt has a great abundance of food stored up. The famine was here now and was widespread, and his brothers had come from the land of Canaan to buy food in Egypt. The brothers don't know what has become of their brother Joseph. He may even be dead for all they know. But through a few interactions, a couple of trips to buy food with and yeah, several interactions with the man in charge of Egypt, Joseph reveals his identity to them. In Genesis 45, I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither ploughing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. After all that Joseph has been through at the hands of his brothers, he sees that God has been at work. He trusted in God throughout all the trials he encountered, and although to some it may not seem like it, the Lord was with him. When he was thrown into a pit, God was with him. When he was put in prison, God was with him. And even when he was in charge of all of Egypt and things were going well for him, he never forgot God was with him. God used the highs and lows of Joseph's life for his purpose. God promised Joseph's forefathers that they would become a great nation. And you should know, we all need to remember, God always keeps his promises. Even when famine strikes and the family of Israel might starve out, God was already at work. God had Joseph in charge of a land with food stored up for the famine. God kept his promise. For when they all moved to Egypt, they were given the land of Goshen. The people of Israel multiplied and did become a great nation. And after many, many years, a lot of things happened in between, from the nation of Israel came our Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So I want everyone here to know and remember that our God is in control. You should put your faith in him. When things are going well for you, God is with you. When things are going bad for you, God is with you. Trust that whatever circumstances you find yourselves in, God is at work. He always is, and his plan is perfect. We may not ever fully understand it, but that's okay. We just need to put our faith in God. Thanks. We'll just pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are our perfect Father. I ask that you'll help us to always trust in you and remember that you are with us through the bad times, and that in the good times we won't forget about you either, that you are with us always. Amen.